Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, December 28th, 2017, 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Another daily dose of happy for you. And Joel, it's been a happy holiday season. We're actually approaching the end of it with the upcoming New Year's holiday. And it's a time for the partiers to get out and to go out and, you know, celebrate the incoming new year. And they're going to have a cold time of it, though, this year, especially here in the Northeast. I mean, the outlook here in Connecticut for New Year's Day, 12 midnight New Year's, 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes, it's Arctic air is really up and down the East Coast. I'm in the Richmond, Virginia area, and we're expecting to be in single digits as well. And it's just you know, being out at night, that there's always precautions to take. But I happen to, as I was mentioning before we went on air, I actually like cold weather. As long as we don't have a lot of wind, I'm in great shape this weekend. So
you're one of those strange people.
Yes. I don't mind cold. However, I'm very much into, I like it not to be windy. It's the wind that cuts through me. It's not the cold that bothers me. So,
And
you know, I study a bunch of weird stuff. I actually have found that most people sleep better when the room temperature is between 60 and 65 degrees. Cooler sleep, it makes for sleeping better. So I think that's I enjoy it. I can always warm up in with blankets. I have a really hard time cooling down from heat.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. And actually, I think there's truth to what you say about cooler temperature. I think the actual temperature value may vary from person to person. Like for us, we reduce the temperature to like 69, 68. So, you know, it's all relative, right?
Right. I have a couple of friends that I'm always fascinated by. I'm very consistent. I keep the house very cool, whether it's summer or winter. But I have friends that are that I laugh because in the summer they will cool it to 65, and in the winter they will heat it to 80. And I laugh at the inconsistency of it.
I love that. That's funny. That's really funny.
Yes.
But it's true. And, you know, hey, people are different, and that's just the way it is. People just have different bodies. They have different ability to handle heat, different ability to dissipate heat, and as a result, they have different preferences, which is what makes the world go around. So, hey, why not? You know?
Exactly. And sort of as in that same point, you know, people have sort of getting on our topic today, that people have different tolerances or they respond to things differently. And I know this time of year, my focus, a lot of my life coaching involves, I do a lot of addiction work. I'm a recovered compulsive gambler, I work with all types of addiction, and I have a sort of affinity for it. And there's a spectrum, like with anything else. It's like using the example of heat and cold with me. There are people that, I know people that can go have, you know, 3 or 4 drinks in an evening, and they're going to be fine. I know people that cannot drink one drink without drinking 15 drinks. 99% of the population can fly out to Las Vegas and take $500 and win, lose, or draw, have a great time, see some shows, and come home. I don't do that. I don't have the ability to stop. I haven't tested that theory for over 20 years, nor do I plan on it.
Probably
but
a good
it,
idea.
It, at least when I was... Beg your pardon?
But probably a good idea not to test that one.
Exactly. So, you know, the idea that, you know, this time of year, people that have full-blown identified addictions, especially early in recovery, this is one of the most difficult times of year. I have several of my clients that have this internal battle. They want to go to a New Year's Eve party. They desperately want to go to a New Year's Eve party. But they also don't want to be identified as not drinking. And they make a much bigger, this is for most recovering alcoholics, this is one of the worst times of year because of this internal battle. You'll often be at parties where you'll see someone who has a problem with drinking that will have, they still need to get like a glass with, they'll get tonic water and lime. So it looks like they're drinking.
Right,
it's very
right.
Important that they have the image kept up. And I laugh, I don't laugh at them, but I laugh at the concept of someone needing, feeling the pressure enough to have to walk around with the prop to look like they're drinking alcohol. And I have, I've had many occasions, and I just, I am not an alcoholic. However, I do not drink. I choose not to drink for a variety of reasons. First of all, the field that I'm in, I actually have to happen to think being mood altered actually blocks me from the law of attraction in a lot of ways. And so I will go to, particularly when I go to college football games. This happened last year. I was at a Florida Gator game, and I ran into some friends that were tailgating. And when I walked up, someone said, "Hey, Joel, would you like a beer?" And I said, "No, thank you." And a few minutes later, somebody came over and handed me a beer. "Would you like a beer?" After about the fifth time of being offered a beer, I said, "Do you have any water? I would like a bottle of water." Not because I necessarily needed the water, but I wanted something in my hand so they would quit asking me about having a beer.
I hear you. Yeah.
So people that have, if you look at addiction as a spectrum, as zero, having zero issues with substances or any type thing, to a 10 where your life is entirely debilitated by addiction, there's a spectrum that takes place. And most people at some point in their life have been up and down that spectrum a little bit. I would say the average person when they're younger, probably, you know, using 0 to 4 as, you know, no problem with addiction to, I've used drugs or alcohol problematically, and then they learn and then they go back. But there are those few percentages of people that go up that scale and it becomes debilitating. And this time of year, learning or at least accepting where you're at in this process, is very important. How do we apply the law of attraction? How does the law of attraction work with substance abuse? My original mentor in the law of attraction, her name is Dee Yo. She has passed away, but what an incredible lady. She's a great practitioner of the law of attraction. And she was fascinated when we met because I was so excited about the law of attraction, and she had a husband that was struggling, definitely struggling with alcohol, and she didn't understand exactly how to apply the law of attraction to addiction, even though she was an expert in the law of attraction. And it was through our conversation that I sort of came up with an idea of sort of how to apply that, but addiction is a touchy subject with the law of attraction because by ignoring it or automatically saying, "I don't have an addiction," that doesn't necessarily work for a lot of people. So we want to be literally clear when we're talking about if you have a full-blown addiction and you have not been able to stop drugs or alcohol, there's no gray area for you. You just don't partake. Mm-hmm. But there are those people that have this area that I think that need to look at it. And it's certainly an intriguing idea that when you can use, you know, what do you want to focus on? As I mentioned, I don't drink alcohol because being mood altered to me actually sort of disconnects me from the law of attraction. I have the tendency when I'm mood altered to have negative thoughts or reminisce about negative things or get drawn back into familiar patterns with negativity. So me being mood altered is I literally disconnect from that, the great connection, what I refer to as the source of the law of attraction. And it's something that I'm aware of. So being mood altered to me is a step away from where I want to be. So I choose not to be mood altered.
It's an interesting point because I mean, partying, the idea of partying, that sounds like fun. It sounds like, you know, okay, that gets you into the higher realms of emotional feeling and so forth, which is what you need to do in order to attract what you want to attract into your life deliberately. If you're doing deliberate creation, if you're just doing default creation, doesn't make any difference. You can do what you want because then you'll just attract everything, right? You know, including the stuff that you don't want. But if you want to do deliberate creation, you want to be in that positive zone. And that's what the promise of partying is. That's what the promise of social drinking is. And, you know, everybody has a couple drinks and the mood gets lighter and the ice gets broken and people start chatting and smiling and all that kind of stuff. And that's the very popular image of partying, I would say. I myself have not partaken since my early 20s. And I was pretty heavily into it. I was drinker and drugger and just about everything you can imagine. And I got to the point where I just didn't want to do it anymore because I didn't like the way I felt, not just during but after. And wasn't until I got off it for a while that I realized I was actually missing out on some stuff. But while I was doing it, I thought I was doing it because it was fun, because it was enjoyable, because it was social, because I could have, you know, a better time with people and so forth. It wasn't until I got away from it that I realized there were some things that were not so true about that. That myth just wasn't quite adding up. So that's what raises the question, can you use social drinking and so forth to get yourself into a positive frame of mind to attract what you want? For instance, like you said, a lot of the conversation in parties tends to get really negative. And it's usually about the popular negative stuff, right? The, you know, what's going on in the news, what's going on in politics, what's going on in entertainment, you know, the latest song about the, you know, the girl who got abused or the boy who got dumped or whatever. I mean, it's just an endless litany of popular stuff that has large themes of negativity. That's what gets talked about in parties. I mean, what are you going to talk about in the party? You don't hear a lot of talk in party situations like that about how cute your cat is. I mean, you might get some of that, but there's not a whole lot of it. It's more of the other stuff. And that raises the question, if you're partying on that, then are you really feeling good by focusing on the negatives?
You've nailed a very important point in this concept. I'll try to be succinct. And most people that have a really difficult time understanding the concept of compulsive gambling, but I'll use my addiction as a sort of a reference. If I were to gamble right now, how that affect, everybody's like, well, you could, you know, use the law of attraction to win the lottery. Well, for me, gambling has been such a negative in my life. If I were to go gamble now, I would be suggesting that I didn't believe that the law of attraction could fulfill my needs. I wouldn't believe that. So to me, it's a negative. I would then be in a desperate state, which then would attract more desperate measures needed, and that would become debilitating for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's sort of that idea that me gambling is a desperate state. I've lived in that, so I can't adjust that state. So I don't gamble. I have an abundance without gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, gambling to me removed money from my life. So I have that connection. That's a connection that I have. So I don't need to go do that. And much like you're talking about, most people who get into the partying scene, as you were discussing, they view the alcohol or the drugs as, wow, this is exciting. This is fun. I'm really enjoying this. But the truth is, they're artificially raising their mood. It's not really, alcohol is actually a depressant.
Which is really strange.
Impaired judgment, which makes you feel like you're having more fun. But usually the come down or the other side of that, even people that don't have an alcohol problem, when you talk about being hungover, you certainly aren't attracting positive things as you lay in bed January 1st.
Right.
Moaning about what happened last night, trying to remember what happened. That's an important thing to remember, that you are actually going away. The law of attraction sort of depends on that subconscious emotion to be in tune, not some artificially inflated emotion. When you artificially inflate that emotion, you sort of lose control over the direction, like you're talking about. I have a great story a long time ago. It was New Year's Day, and it's probably been 10 years ago. And I stopped over at a friend of my son, his buddy is about same age, and we stopped over, and in the living room, the mom was there, and there was two of her buddies there, and then another, I guess, her boyfriend. They were all in this room, and they all were just clearly bloodshot eyes and hungover.
Mm.
And so I walked in, and she looked at me, and she said, why is it that every year I put on this party, and everybody ends up getting in fights, and everybody's sleeping with everybody, and then New Year's Day, everybody's... I said, are you asking me to answer the question, or are you just rhetorically asking the question? I'll be glad to answer it. And I said, every year you invite people and provide them with a bunch of alcohol, which lowers their inhibitions, and then all this negative stuff starts to happen. And so you now have an entire year that people aren't going to be speaking to each other over what happened while their mood altered. And you know, this one did this, and this one did this, and, you know, that particular evening, the father-in-law slept with the daughter-in-law, and they don't remember, neither one claimed to remember it. And I'm going, you know, it's probably best not to bring alcohol into the equation of the situation, because it created that negative environment. So the we talk about the media often. The media, when you watch TV, you'll see a beer commercial. And everybody, first of all, they're incredibly fit, and they're usually on a boat or the beach, and they're drinking their beer and playing volleyball. So, well, that's clearly what fun is. Well, how many people do you really know that are doing that? You know, the truth is people are taking shots and getting trashed, and they're doing stuff they don't want to do. They're throwing up. And so that when you understand, at least when I look at this, Walt, and I do have a bias, not in a negative way, but I am very hyper aware of addiction. I see addiction because I do it for a living. I do this work for a living. So I tend to see addictive behavior in most patterns.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So partying, how do you do it safely? It is understanding that anything, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or money, or anything that distracts you from the feeling of abundance or being, you know, I'm in control of my emotions. I'm in control of my thought patterns. I did a post on Facebook today. Be aware of what your inner dialogue is. There's nothing more important than what you tell yourself every day. And when I'm mood altered, that dialogue changes and I don't have control over my inner dialogue. And that then creates a lot of negative in my life.
That's a really important point, because when, and I like the term mood altered, what other people would say is high or, you know, feeling good or whatever. When you're feeling good, when you're high, you don't have the same level of control that you have when you're not high, when you're not in that feeling good place from having taken alcohol or drugs or whatever else. And that control is everything. You have to have that control if you want to be able to focus. So it becomes critically important to look at, well, how long are you able to stay in the positive zone when you're partying? Because it's not enough just to do it. You made a great point on this. It's not enough to just do it when you're at the party. You need to continue it after the party, well after the party.
Right.
You need to stay in that consistent place. Otherwise, you contradict yourself and you end up not getting whatever it is you're trying to attract. So it's really critically important to not just be feeling good during the party, but afterward. How do you do that?
Well, and that's the important thing, because if you look at the chemical actions in the brain, let's take smoking a joint. For most people, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter. If you smoke a joint, you get high, you do that. However, there are brain alterations temporarily that take place when you hit a joint. There's brain chemicals that flood the brain. It makes you, that gives you that euphoria high feeling. Well, the body has regulators for about everything, including brain chemicals. So when it senses that, boy, this feels great. However, we probably have too much of this incredible endorphin brain chemical right now. So let's just cut our own production of that down. So the next day you wake up and then you might be, because the brain has to readjust or find its balance and start producing its chemical again. And that's just one example. That is even more pronounced with like heroin and some of the stronger drugs. Meth is a great example of how it can literally deplete the brain of certain chemicals. And you can have a week or two period of just feeling exceptionally down. That's the drive to use more. That's where it comes back when you want to use more. And so, you know, how does a social partier do it? And that becomes the million-dollar question for a certain percentage of the population. Number one, what is important? Is it more important? How do you want to feel? The ultimate high is to be there are days when I'm done working out that I feel incredibly high in a very positive way. I created that internally without an outside resource by forcing my brain chemicals to release by intense exercise. That is a great tool for me. But my body has done that itself, and then it starts to produce more on its own. When I introduce an outside source of that same event, so trying to get that same feeling, the body then, it works, but it then shuts down. A lot of bodybuilders that use testosterone in high amounts, they create massive muscles. However, one of the side effects, the unspoken side effects, is the body quits producing its own testosterone. You see a 270-pound man with a 60-inch chest and 25-inch arms and just ripped muscles, and their testicles shrink to that of a 10-year-old boy. not exactly what you're shooting for there. So
yeah, right.
Because the chemical relation in the body, and I don't want to get into a law of attraction, but I do want to see how that works. So when you're in that state of mind, it's hard to attract when you're feeling at a deficit in brain chemicals. When you're, oh God, I'm recovering from that. And so that's how what to look at. Would a glass of wine hurt the average person on New Year's Eve? Absolutely not. It doesn't really have a major effect on brain chemicals. It can, you know, be a fun way to participate. However, maybe two glasses of wine, okay? But what number does that stop at, Walt? That becomes the question.
There's another thought that comes to my mind, too. What would happen? This is kind of an experiment of mind, so to speak, okay? The idea, the goal behind drinking or drugging or whatever to achieve that mind-altered state and feel good and party and be social and let the barriers down and so forth. The goal there is to feel better, to feel good, and to feel, you know, like you want to participate in a party atmosphere. What would happen if before you went to the party, before you even took your first drink, you got yourself into a happy frame of mind first? What would happen?
Right. That's a good question. I mean, I think, again, it would depend on the person's relationship to alcohol or drugs at that point. Here's sort of the reverse side of that. Take an alcoholic who's early in recovery. And we'll just use it. And I'm not picking on alcoholics, but they're just...
Well, they're really part of your life, so that's understandable.
Example. Yeah. If alcoholic's in a horrible mood, he's craving alcohol really bad. Well, the concept, and every alcoholic that's listening to us can relate to this, is they will say they decide, screw it, I'm going to go get a drink. I'm going to get in a great mood and get a drink. Well, the moment they decide to buy, that begins the process. They automatically feel better. They feel incredibly good. They're like, wow. Before they even take the drink, because they made the decision to take the drink. The anticipation of the mood-altering substance has them already improving their mood. In reality, when they take the drink, will be a letdown. So you gotta look at your question can only be answered by what is the person's relationship to the drug of choice, if that is a situation with them. I was doing at the Virginia Center for Addiction Medicine, I was doing a group one Saturday morning, and we had a lady there who was in, she was on Suboxone maintenance, and this was fascinating to me, Walt. She came in, I was doing the group on Saturday morning, and our doctors are not there on Saturday morning. But she came to me and she said, the pharmacy wouldn't fill my prescription yesterday. I am very sick. I need help really bad. She was trembling, she was shaking, and she was obviously in severe distress.
Mm-hmm.
So I called one of our doctors. I told her, said, I'll text one of our doctors and see if they can help you, but I got to get started with group. So I started, and she is sitting on the floor with a pillow held up against her and rocking back and forth and crying the entire time, lightly,
wow,
not disturbing anyone.
Yeah.
She was clearly in distress, Walt.
Oh, yeah.
And about halfway through group, I had my vibrating mechanism on my phone on. And it came, the doctor said, I will be there in 30 minutes and I'll give her some relief. I don't know, I guess a sample or whatever. So I interrupted group and I said, Dr. Thompson is on his way to see you and he'll be here within 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I told her that, and I continued on with group, she put the pillow down, she leaned up against the wall, she quit shaking. Her distress was relieved.
Mm.
It was totally gone.
Yeah.
Now, what changed, Walt? Nothing changed except her knowing that the help was on the way totally alleviated that. So that's the point. That's how intricate this works. And she was unintentionally. Now, yes, heroin and opiate is a horrible withdrawal. But there's a huge psychological effect that is taking place. And this is a great example when we sort of break it down of what is your relationship with this in the beginning. The average person, as we're talking about the average people in society, that they don't have a problem with this stuff. How can you use it? There's a lot of belief that getting mood altered with pot, for example, or LSD actually makes you more creative. I know there's especially in other cultures, the LSD is used to really find, you know, who you really are and track. And the psychedelic effect actually makes you more in tune is a lot of people's belief. But you have to find, I have found the most efficient way to me to use the law of attraction is I don't believe, and this is me personally, this is not medical advice. I don't want to be mood altered or affected in any manner unless I can induce it internally by exercise or changing my thought patterns. I don't believe I cured my depression with the law of attraction. I cured it. I didn't, you know, there's an argument with addiction being curable or not. I won't even go to that direction, but I will tell you, I cured my depression with the law of attraction and my thoughts. Antidepressants did not work. They were silly. Anxiety can be cured with the law of attraction and understanding how all this works. That stuff is certainly, for me, the most effective tool. And anything that mood alters me away from that actually puts me further away from helping it, even though the temporary effect of mitigating it with medication could help, but long-term it makes it worse. And I'm probably getting way out there, but the law of attraction is a great tool to me that is best used with the clearest state of mind you can develop without any outside interference. Does that make sense to you? Does that hang on?
Oh, it does make sense to me. In fact, the reason I raised my example, my hypothetical about getting yourself into a happy state before you go to the party was it's actually something I've done. It's something I did back in my drug and alcohol days. What I would do is I don't remember precisely what methods I used to get myself to feel good, but I would do something that usually probably exercise would be somehow related to it. I mean, I was in my 20s, so of course I was going to be really active. So I would go do something, you know, very active to feel good. And then I'd go to the party and I would just kind of see how my mood was fitting in with the people as they were starting to drink and whatever else. And I found an interesting thing happened. I found that I didn't want to take the drink. I found that as I was participating in the party, they were rising to my level. Temporarily, perhaps, but they were rising to my level. And I was saying, well, shoot, I did this without taking a drink. they're the ones taking the drinks. Yeah. I got here without it. And so I wanted to see, well, what's it like when you're partying with somebody and you're not on something, but you're feeling just as good as they are. So I did that. And I tried that probably a half dozen times. Only one time did I actually try drinking along with the crowd partway through it. And it ruined the effect.
Right.
It actually ruined my mood. I actually became very unhappy with being at the party. And I wanted to leave early. But the other times...
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah. But the other times when I stayed there and just... Yeah, and did the same kind of trick, right? You have a drink in your hand, so it looks like you're actually drinking something. For me, it was orange juice, right? Because that looks like a screwdriver. You know, so I was sitting there with my faux screwdriver, drinking that, and having a blast. And just, it was amazing because people were asking me, do you want another drink? Because they thought I was drinking.
Right.
They thought I fit right in, right? I fit right into what was going on. So there was no doubt in their minds. But in my mind, it was a completely different experience. And of course, I had the extra benefit that the next morning I didn't have the dry mouth and the cottony tongue and the headache and all that other stuff. So I got to have all the benefits of the party without having any of the drawbacks. And I can't say that turned me around right away. It's not, it's not like I actually, you know, decided, well, okay, I'm going to give up drugs and alcohol because of this experiment. It took a little bit longer than that. But it set me on the road.
Right.
It set me on the road and got me to the point where I said, I don't think this is actually helping me. I think I'm better off if I go to a party without drinking, without drugging.
Well, when you get to that point, and I was at a person's party that a doctor friend of mine had a party and he invited me, and I am generally not, because of of alcohol, and particularly when around doctors, they tend to be hard drinkers. Is a lot of times it's hard to believe that sometimes.
Really ironic. Yeah.
And so he invited me, and he really talked me into coming. And so it was a dinner party and then cocktail hour. And then there's this gentleman who had written a book, and we were all supposed to hear him give a speech about the book. So we're sitting around the table, and of course I'm the one drinking water, and everybody else starts with the wine. But we start talking about the concepts of law of attraction, positive psychology, and even the deeper stuff, you know, quantum thinking, where you're attracting stuff, and sort of how you and I have discussed in the past, how science is sort of circling back to the law of attraction and what we attract. I mean, there's a lot of scientific stuff
right.
in play long before, the law of attraction came about, long before that ever even was known.
Sure.
And so as we were discussing this, it became very, they were really into the process. And so the guy that wrote the book started asking me a bunch of questions. Well, one of the things that happened, and it was noticed, was after dinner, he's talking, and then he actually invites me to, his book was loosely on the same subject, but we start talking about the placebo effect of healing, and the real healing takes place internally. The mechanisms often are used or actually just helping the placebo effect. And at the end of the evening, my friend who originally invited me had bought, I forget how many, but several bottles. I mean, and I don't want to exaggerate, but probably 25 bottles of really expensive wine.
Whoa.
And he said, there was only one bottle of wine drank tonight.
Ooh.
And that was, we were like, wow. And most people leaving the party said, well, this is one of the best parties I've ever been to. It was interesting, and nobody was really identifying until over the next. I received probably 5 emails, and now these are doctors taking the time, or their wives taking the time to first of all thank me for being at the party, and in their own way were saying it was a great party, and we did so without drinking or being mood altered, and we left feeling up, more up than we normally do. And this one lady in particular said, I hate parties with my husband because he always has too much wine, and he's a smart ass. And she goes on and on about all the negatives that develop in his personality with alcohol. She said, we had the best time, and we talked on the way home. We need to have more parties like that.
Ooh, very nice. Yeah.
And so, the idea that what you're fueling there is people, not the outliers that we're talking about here who have the extreme stuff. But you got to get in a mindset of, hopefully you get to a mindset of not partaking. But people that are going to a party with the idea of, raise that vibration and see if you even want to drink. Because if I'm vibrating that term I use, vibrating, when I'm really in tune with all this.
Right.
The thought of me drinking alcohol is even more disgusting because it would distract me from that feeling, which is a level that I never want. If I could live in that vibrating feeling where I feel I'm so in tune and almost like I'm living in my own matrix and it's all there, if I could live in that all the time, I would. And mood altered is literally the opposite of that feeling for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That's the experience that I had when I was doing those experiments in my early 20s. And the thing that I really learned from it is that parties are actually better when I don't alter my mood, when I don't take something. Parties are actually more enjoyable, provided, and this is the big proviso, provided that I go into it before I get to the party in a good frame of mind. If I go to that party in a bad frame of mind, doesn't matter whether I drink or not, I guarantee you it's going to turn into some argument about some nasty subject. And by the end of the evening, I'm done. I don't want to have anything to do with those people ever again. That's the feeling that I walk away with, and it's just miserable, and it just carries over for the next few days. But if you go into it with that positive frame of mind and you bring that to the party, and presuming there's at least one or two other people there who are open to it, and there almost always are, the conversation tends to go in positive channels. And when it goes in positive channels, yeah. that's where you get what you had at that party with the book presenter, where everybody is into this really intense, fun stuff. Like, oh, wow, we're talking about this great, great stuff. And they leave the party at the end saying, whoa, that's the best party I've been at in years. And it had nothing to do yeah. with drinking. Nothing at all to do with drinking.
Right. Because what happens in parties, and where you said something very early in the conversation, we go with the idea of having fun and partying, that concept. Well, you're trying to raise your mood or raise the feeling or the whatever was inside of you. And when you go in with that artificial ingredient, it's like you don't know which way it's going to manifest. My grandfather was a severe off the chart alcoholic. He committed suicide. He was just an evil man when he was drinking. Oh. And I loved him, but he was an evil man when he was drinking. And so his for him, alcohol, it there was just zero area for him to start drinking. He could not have a beer without it just going off the deep end.
Yeah.
And so I kept wondering as a child, why is he doing this? What is it behind that? I later got all the answers that they're irrelevant for this conversation, but his mood was so depressed and so low. The illusion that this was going to raise his vibration had long left anything. He did it not to feel. He did it to a point that I don't want to feel the emotion of my life. I want to get away from it. And he did not have the ability to deal with emotion on any level. And so anytime any emotional stuff took place, he needed to drink and get away from that. Good emotion, bad emotion, it didn't matter. He just didn't deal with emotion.
Yeah.
And so the idea for partying is in a world where, you know, I was on I go to a lot of these talks and stuff, you know, and I heard another person talking about alcohol or substance abuse and, you know, the law of attraction and stuff like that. Another guy was talking, he got away from his drugs and alcohol because he came up with the concept, and he made the same discovery you're talking about, same discovery I did. He said he had a lot of social anxiety when he would go to a party. And alcohol was a social lubricant for him mm-hmm. that allowed him the illusion that he was fitting in and feeling better. And he said, you know, he realized that, very smart man, he realized, why do I need that? How do I get that the other way? So he would exercise right before he would go to a party. He would watch, you know, as you often use humor, he'll listen to fun, motivational speaker. He'll listen and then walk in the party in the right mindset and immediately find somebody, engage that one person. And then once he starts raising his vibration with another person, the need to drink went away. And he actually said, and then he rewarded himself when he left the party. I can drive home. I don't need to take a cab or an Uber. Hmm. I can drive home. I'm going to get up tomorrow, feel great, be able to work out, not have to recover all day and worry about hangover cures and all that silliness. And he realized, wow, this is what I'm attracting. So what you're seeking when you go to party is something, that's the question to ask yourself. And just when you're going to feel good, if you can go in feeling good, see how much you need of that stuff to move forward. And I think that's sort of the experiment with this, you know, the new year a few days away. How can you use that same technique to get you feeling how you need to be feeling without the need for all this excess stuff?
I'm also reminded from my partying days that there were always people at the party, and these fell into that majority category you talked about, where, you know, the people who aren't really affected one way or another by substances. And they're the ones who would be at the party, and they'd get a drink or two into themselves, and they would just be the really pleasant, mellow people. You know the ones I'm talking about?
Yes.
Everything that came out of their mouths was pleasant and happy and just very light and so forth. A funny thing happened when I did my experiment, when I did the thing where I would get myself into a good mood, go to the party, and not instead of drinking, just got, you know, get engaged in positive conversations and so forth. I found that the mellow people were really dull because they had nothing to say. They had right. nothing at all to say. They were very pleasant. If they said anything, it was always, you know, like, oh, that's nice, that kind of thing. But they could never contribute right. anything to the conversation. I thought, wow, why didn't I notice that when I was partying? When I was partying with alcohol, well, I should say.
Exactly, exactly. And that's the piece that when you see that connection that you're talking about, you know, the idea that we are in a position mentally as we do this, when we go to parties, and you get to see the room in the true perspective. The very first party grown up party that I ever went to, I was probably 20 or 21 at our country club, and, mm-hmm. and they had a Las Vegas night. that was my attraction.
Yeah, I can see why you want to go.
Yeah, things were going to, you know, we're starting out on a pretty crazy level anyway.
Yeah, right.
And in the beginning, you know, we're sitting at a table and, you know, all these people that, you know, like my parents' friends and people I grew up with. And again, all the, you know, the mayor of our town was there and it was very quiet and very subdued. And then probably 3 hours into it, after everybody had been plied with a bunch of alcohol, everybody was loud and boisterous and giving. Now, I'm not really drinking. And to giving the view from somebody who is sober looking at that, I'm going, did it require that much alcohol for them to have fun? And then tomorrow morning they're going to take the mask that, you know, they think they're taking the mask off at night, and they're going to put the mask back on tomorrow and live a very subdued professional life. And it was just such a swing to see, you know, the mayor of our town, you know, dancing on a table with a lampshade on his head. I'm using a
Did he really?
Example. And then, you know, the very next day he's going to, or 2 days later, he's going to be heading the city council meeting, you know, talking about sewer development. You know, it's like, it's such a contrast in seeing that. And, you know, the idea of the perfect connection with the law of attraction, it is a provider of all the stuff you're seeking with the substances. You can get there attracting the mood you want by tuning into that in the beginning. As you become more and more excited about the law of attraction and how to use it, I can anticipate the mood. I use it when I work out. I start visualizing the incredible workout, how I'm going to be feeling. All of this stuff is going forward. These are good things. You know, how to use that. I don't need to substitute other things in my life for that. And I learned that. You learned that. So as we're facing this, you know, as we're moving forward with this party season coming up, we're not telling anybody what to do. It's just how to use the law of attraction. Number one, for those of you that don't have a problem with substance use, you know, to adjust your mood before you walk in. Go in with the idea of having fun ahead of time. Be happy, be ready, and see. You know, you may find, like me, the concept of adding alcohol is a disconnecting factor to me to the law of attraction. I don't want anything to get in the way of how I feel. And that's a great place to be in law when you can start doing that.
Yeah, it's a huge place to be. And that's why I particularly noticed after the fact the people who are always the really pleasant people at the parties after they had a few drinks in their belts or under their belts or however you say it. they were right. pleasant. They were just nice people, but they didn't have anything to contribute. And I thought to myself, is it possible that the alcohol is preventing them from reaching that high level of happiness that they're getting from the alcohol? I know that sounds like a strange thing to say, but that's what the conclusion seemed to be. They were actually getting in their own way by doing the very thing that was getting them into that mood in the first place.
And what you just said is exactly the concept. The illusion of alcohol elevating your mood is an illusion, because alcohol is a depressant. It's classified as suppressing the central nervous system. It is a depressant. Now, it gives you the illusion of fun because it lowers your inhibitions, and you are able to think or say things that you would not say under normal circumstances. And you know, there's millions of jokes out there, and I won't do them, but you know, we make some very poor choices, when we're mood altered often. And I have many thousands of examples of that when I was younger. And again, not appropriate for today, but that's where we're at. So understanding that what you're being sold on is not the truth. And when you see parties, I saw a champagne ad the other day, and you have all these really pretty people wearing their tuxedos at midnight, and they're toasting each other with the champagne, and everybody's clapping, and it's like, okay, you're being sold on, that is what it is. That's your fun. One of my traditions, long time traditions, I do it every year. I belong to multiple gyms here in the Richmond area, and one of my gyms I have a key to, and it's a 24-hour access for me. About 11 or 11:30, we'll head up to the gym, and I'll be getting a workout in at midnight.
Really?
That's what I do.
So you work out the year in.
Well, I did that a few years by myself, and I would post it on Facebook, or I'd bring my son with me. You know, Chris was there for a couple of them. And well, then over the years, I get, you know, an email. You're going to be working out this weekend or New Year's Eve. Yeah. Last New Year's, I had five people working out with me. We had a really good time. We had the TV on when the ball dropped. We, you know, shook each other's hand. Happy New Year. Get busy. And it's like, wow, what an incredible, upbeat, powerful way to start the year than really in tune with how you're feeling, your emotions elevated from the positive working out. What a great way to start. And I got up the next morning ready to go, ready to take on the new year, feeling healthy versus, okay, I need the latest hangover cure to clear my head. Mm. It's a much better place to start the new year, for me at least.
That's really interesting. Wonderful. Because I gather from, because obviously we've been doing shows together for quite some time, and I've gotten to know a lot about you, and I gather that one of the reasons you work out is because you get the endorphin buzz, because it gives you that
absolutely
really good high. What an interesting way to get a high on New Year's Eve. You're getting
by working out, and if you get into again the concepts of how the brain works, when you make the brain increase its own, and we'll just call it endorphins. There's multiple chemicals in the brain that raise the mood, but we'll just call them endorphins for the sake of this. When you internally increase that raises the baseline of what the body, for a long time, I was horribly depressed. I mean, I've mentioned my depression often. I lived in depression and trying all types of things. Well, I believe that addiction, being depressed, can become an addiction unto itself for some people.
Sure.
And so the brain said, this is me being depressed. This is who I am. I am depressed. So the brain's baseline produced enough chemicals to keep me depressed. The law of attraction doesn't care good or bad. It doesn't see good or bad. It just sees what you're inviting. I'm depressed. Yes, I have a depressed brain. Well, by working out and raising that elevation, my brain says, okay, he's happy. We have plenty of this stuff. So my brain changed. It now operates in a non-depressed, almost happy state, and exercise is the quickest way for me to get there. I guess it doesn't apply to everyone. I've never seen anybody it not work for, but it certainly is my quickest way there. So understanding what is the point of what we're seeking when we go party. We're not going to change the world here and their view of that, but I do want everybody to sort of evaluate, you know, when I go out, what am I trying to do? And if I really want to start if I really want to start the new year off with a new way and applying the law of attraction and watch the incredible abundance in all areas appear, do I want to start the way with a depressant or a depressing set of chemicals and that can make me lose control of my thought process and send me in an opposite direction? That's sort of the question today.
It is the question, and part of the reason I raised the question, the reason I even thought of this topic in the first place, was because I realized that this isn't just a New Year's thing. This is an ongoing thing.
Right.
And I mean, let's be honest, the vast majority of people do use usually on a moderate basis. Most people don't have the severe addictions, but you know, obviously there are some of those too. But more people use these things moderately. And when they use it moderately, they feel they're behaving responsibly, and they are certainly. They're by not going overboard, that is a demonstration of responsibility. But the thought that went through my mind is, are they helping themselves, or can they help themselves to attract what they want more while they're doing this? And I think what we've basically discovered here is, yes, you can get yourself into a good frame of mind by using artificial substances, but no, you can't stay there. It's really, right. really hard to stay there because you inevitably have, you know, even if it's very mild, you have a very mild form of withdrawal you have to go through. And so you're losing your state. Whereas when you go right. into a party situation and decide you're going to feel good without the stimulus, you retain it afterward, which is critical.
Absolutely.
Absolutely critical
yes.
to attracting what you want to attract because you don't want to contradict yourself. The moment that you change your mood, you've contradicted yourself.
Exactly. And that's so well put. And I have, One of the go-to traditional pharmaceutical products for anxiety is benzodiazepines, Xanax, and similar types.
You mentioned
products.
That yesterday, yeah.
They are amazingly effective at helping with anxiety, and there's a comma with there for a very short period of time.
Mm.
What happens is the first time you take one, you take a Xanax, that worked incredibly well. I'm just going to use that every day and deal with my anxiety. Well, after, and I'll just use, everybody's different, but after about 3 or 4 days of using a milligram of Xanax, and then, okay, well, that it's not having the same effect. The anxiety's coming back, maybe even a little stronger. I'm going to need 2 milligrams of Xanax. That worked great. That helped a lot. Then after about a month of that, well, might need 3. Well, that didn't help a lot. I'm going to need 4. And then, next thing you know, you're up to a max dose or whatever the max dose of Xanax would be. And then the body's dependent on it. The body then at that point is you still have horrible anxiety, but yet the getting off of benzos will then make the anxiety get worse, and you also risk seizure because it's such a drastic, it's all this thing. Because of that, the dependency on these things, the no matter how minimal, it does affect you, and you crave it that way. That's why it's so addicting to people. Opiates are so addicting to people because they do relieve so many symptoms of so many things very temporarily. But the body's dependence on it is what drives it. And you can't relieve it without it for a while. And then it takes forever to regulate it without that substance. And that's sort of the how we get to where we're at. So the law of attraction can fulfill all of your emotional need when you understand how to control that inner dialogue you have with yourself, what we're seeking and how you're going. Do you want to put yourself in a position? If going to a party requires you to go get literally drunk every time you go, is that the most effective way, or is that even an effective way to deal with to use the law of attraction on your behalf? It is certainly not. It will yield the opposite result you're seeking.
And
that's where it becomes relevant.
Is Xanax kind of like the alcohol or the steroids where we were talking before, how like with steroids, if you take steroids in order to build up your muscle, your body actually produces less testosterone, or if you're taking alcohol,
yes.
you take the alcohol in order to get a certain feeling, so the body starts changing the chemistry so that it no longer feeds you naturally the stuff that you're trying to get through the alcohol. Is the same thing happen with Xanax?
Exactly, yes. I have one of the interesting things that you'll often hear, and again, I don't want to be Mr. Addiction Counselor here,
yeah.
is I internally will laugh when I'll meet somebody. I heard a guy the other day, he's at Walmart, and he was in front of me, and I was really nice guy, and we were waiting in line, and we were talking about something, and he says, yeah, I got a meeting to go to. And I said, what kind of meeting? He said, well, I'm recovering alcoholics. Oh, my goodness. And so we start talking. Really nice guy. And he said, somehow he mentioned, oh, I got to pick up my prescription. And I said, okay. And he said, yeah, I'm on Xanax for my anxiety. And he said, but I've effectively stopped alcohol. And now everybody's got to do what everybody's got to do for their own thing. Well, replacing alcohol with Xanax is really not fixing any problem whatsoever. It's just trading it to something that gives you the illusion of more control. And because a doctor wrote it, obviously it's much healthier than you know, the alcohol you're buying in the store. And so that's the catch 22 is addiction is escaping from usually emotion, but other situations, anxiety. That's how we get addicted to things. And you become dependent. There's a dependency side, a physical dependency. There's also a mental addiction to things. It's when people quit smoking cigarettes, Walt, one of the hardest things they describe, the nicotine's a horrible withdrawal. But I've heard had this question asked of me 1,000 times. What do I do with my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands when I'm around people. You know, the oral fixation, the ritual of smoking has a physically addicting side to it that most people not aware of. So it's, you know, I'm excited that the law of attraction offers you a conduit to naturally raise or elevate your mood by controlling your thoughts. That's the miracle here to me. That's the exciting piece to me.
Sure, because if you're able to control your own thoughts, that's really what we're concluding from this discussion about the role of substances in partying. When you're controlling your own thoughts and using your thoughts as a way to get yourself into that elevated mood, well, first of all, you're not introducing all those substances into your body. And even if individually we don't know, we aren't scientists enough to know, okay, this is what this is doing and that's what that's doing. We know on some level it can't be really good for us to do it. We're hoping that by moderating it, we're minimizing any kind of damage, so it's not going to be any really big damage. But the point is we know that we're still kind of, you know, rolling the dice a little tiny bit. Whereas when we're using our own feeling of, you know, our own ability to boost our feelings through various exercises, through various activities, affirmations, you know, listening to positive music, doing nature walks, whatever it might be. When we're doing those things to get ourselves into an elevated mood and then going to a party after that, then it's an entirely different experience. And it's an experience that not only lasts, but it actually plays into the entire thing that we're doing throughout the rest of our lives when we're trying to apply the law of attraction, which is to get ourselves into that positive state and to stay there as much as we can. Because we know when we stay there as much as we can, that's when all the good things start to happen. And sure enough, they do.
Absolutely.
So I agree with you. That's the great benefit. No, go ahead. Sorry.
One of the things that is really important, I know we're getting short on time, but with law of attraction, that we've used this before. I use it this way. There's positive, there's negative, and there's neutral. The law of attraction operates on the positive side. Anything I'm adding that doesn't, there is no neutral for me. Neutral is, and I know neutral is a better place than negative, and we've talked about that concept. But living in a place where I don't need to rely on any other human, any other substance, any other thing on the environment, in my world, except me and my internal thoughts. I can instantly become happy today. The law of attraction doesn't require 10 years to work or 10 months to work or 10 hours to work. You instantly can be happy today if you choose to be happy. And does adding a substance of any type in that arena doesn't make sense if you have the power to do it without adding it? Because, you know, again, you could argue, well, I don't know, people say, well, pots can be healthy, or this can be healthy, or a glass of wine can be healthy. I have no problem with any of that stuff. But why are you doing it? Because it's like anything else. What is the point of it? We could spend an hour on what chocolate does to me. I love chocolate. And this Christmas season, I've really loved it a lot. And probably you need to get through that. But it's been, you know, Walt, we need people to understand. You can subscribe to our podcast. We do this every day, two times a day. Not me and you, but we have other hosts as well. The LOA Today is growing. And how do we subscribe?
Well, you subscribe by going to loatoday.net. On your iPhone, you do it by going to the iTunes store or to your podcast software, either one, search on LOA Today. And on your Android phone, same thing, just go to Google Play and search on LOA Today. And Joel, this has been a great show. Thanks for doing it with me. It's been a pleasure as usual.
I look forward to next week, and everybody, let's have a great new year, and let's use this law of attraction to turn everything around.
And we'll see you next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.